On Saturday, the 16th of January 2021, I decided to finish the crazy patchwork squares that I had started ages ago. I was going to make a smaller sampler, but decided to make a box instead. I printed the patterns on a photo paper bagged fabric with my inkjet printer, then cut them all out. Each of the six squares were then hand sewn and decorated with embroidery, pictures of flowers and buttons. I then cut eight cardboard squares and placed each one inside. When all six squares were finished, they were stitched together by hand, and I finished the box at 5 o'clock in the evening of Monday, 18th of January. I also made a Chinese pouch purse to go inside, which contained some of my little Chinese and Japanese treasures. I ordered an acrylic see-through case to display it in, as I didn't want it covered in dust. I really enjoyed hand sewing this box and will make some more small Chinese items to go inside in the future. I also made a cloth book. I started this project in 2019, then continued with some of it in 2020. Finally, I decided to carry on with it again on the 22nd of January. I had already embroidered flowers for the book, but decided to use only four of them. I can use the others for another project, maybe. I found the poems on the internet and printed them on a photo paper backed fabric, then hand sewed them using an invisible cotton which I had from my grandmother Maggie's sewing tin. I was determined to finish this book, so spent all day sewing and binding on the 22nd, 23rd, 24th and on the 25th of January. It was finished at 4:30 in the afternoon, just in time for tea. My neck and hands were really painful with arthritis. It was a relief to finish at last, and it is now packed away safe in a box with all my other projects. A year ago today, on the 24th of March 2021, Ray persuaded me to use the living room as my studio. I didn't agree at first, but I must admit that my little office under the stairs was too small for my craft boxes. We don't have many visitors now, and the grandchildren have all grown up. It was silly not to use the room, so I agreed and wished I had done it years ago. The furniture for the studio came on the 30th of March. There were three cupboards, two desks, one table and four chairs. They were all flat packs and Ray finished assembling them on the 4th of April 2021. I love going in there to work and have made loads of projects. It's so nice to be able to leave your work on a table and just close the door. I've also been busy making resin jewellery in my new studio. The last time I made some was for our 50th wedding anniversary in October 2018. My eyesight is getting worse, so I had to buy a magnifying lamp with a light. I used UV resin this time from Amazon. I always wore gloves and goggles to be on the safe side. I had dried some small mushrooms and ferns which I had collected in the garden last year. The first stage is to lay greaseproof paper on the tray. Then place some sticky tape with the sticky side up on top. Next, place the bezel onto the tape and add enough UV resin to cover the base of the bezel. Using a thin paintbrush, arrange the ferns, mushrooms and flowers gently onto the liquid resin, pressing down lightly to clear the bubbles. Hold the UV torch above the bezel for roughly 1 minute. And if it has hardened, add some more resin and cure again with a torch. Repeat until the bezel is full. Then remove from tape, and if some of the tape is left behind, simply sand it gently and add a thin layer of resin. I had been experimenting with my stock of dried flowers, which I collected from the garden last year. I covered some of them front and back with Mod Podge glue to see if they would preserve better, and left the others as they were. I was pleased with the results, as the glued ones were less brittle, and I thought that the colour was better too, and it didn't smell musty. The first project I made were cards with a William Morris pattern border, which were stitched on the sewing machine. I then tried ferns in glass display frames, which I bought from Amazon, and I really liked these. My next experiment was covering cardboard with a green cotton fabric. Then I glued a flower display on it, and when the glue had set, I sprayed them with hair lacquer. These were my favourite, so I scanned them on the printer, and I can now print some birthday cards from the pictures. I will definitely be coating the dried flowers from now on. I decided to make some paper for my crafting, so Ray made a mould and decal for me, and it worked really well. I had watched a few tutorials on YouTube, but decided to do it my way in the end. Tear 3/4 of an A4 sheet of paper into small bits and place in a blender. Then fill 3/4 of the blender jug with water and soak for a while. Next, spread a sheet over a large towel on the table. Prepare a washing up bowl and place a rack on top. Then secure the mould and decal together with an elastic band. Switch the blender on briefly and then pour the pulp into the mould. Rock the mould from side to side in order to even the pulp. Next, remove the lid from the mould and turn the pulp gently onto the sheet. Lift the mould up slowly and the pulp should drop off easily. Leave to dry out naturally. I have many ideas where to use this paper in the future. Scrapbooking and arts maybe. Now that I had made my own paper, I treated myself to a wax seal stamp set, some wax and a customised seal with my initials JG. It took a lot of practice to make a reasonable good seal, as it isn't as easy as you would think, but I eventually worked it out to suit me. To start with, I covered the tray with some greaseproof paper and placed a lit candle with a burner above it on the tray. Then I heated 4 wax beads in the spoon and rested it on top of the burner to melt. As soon as the last bead had melted, I poured the wax onto the project, slowly forming a circle. Place the stamp dead centre, do not press too hard, and clean the spoon with some kitchen paper every time. Remove the stamp and decorate with a gold or silver metallic pen. I have also made a quantity of seals to use for future projects by pouring the wax onto a greaseproof covered cold tile, then stamp. These can be glued on later. It is a lovely hobby and I shall definitely continue, but I will buy some scented candles as the ones I have smell and smoke. Because of climate change, the sun is now so hot it melted the plastic sheets on the roof of the backyard. The same thing happened on the roof over Ray's greenhouse in 2018, and Ray had to strip them off and replace them with very expensive black plastic coated galvanized corrugated steel sheets. Now he will have to do it again. So in August, Ray ordered more black sheets to cover the backyard. They cost £500, and because of metal shortage, they would not be here until October. So on the 8th of October, he started removing the plastic sheets off the backyard roof. He had decided to start the job now and not wait until next year. Ray managed to fit the battens and waterproof fabric on in one day, and that wasn't easy either. We had a few metal sheets left from the previous job, and on Sunday the 10th of October, he had fitted most of the sheets on, and the other 4 were coming on Thursday. He worked so hard and finished the job on that Thursday. Thank goodness he didn't leave the job until next year. The 1921 census should have been taken on the 24th of April 1921, but was delayed by 2 months because the railwaymen, coal miners and transport workers were on strike, and it was called Black Friday. The 1921 census was taken between 2 world wars and a global flu pandemic. It was eventually taken on the night of Sunday the 19th of June 1921. And on Saturday the 8th of January 2022, 101 years later, it became available online at Find My Past. It is the most expensive British census open to the public and is a detailed snapshot of 38 million lives. It costs £2.50 for every record transcript and £3.50 for every original record image. This will cover the cost of digitizing and transcribing the 18 million images created. I have been waiting a long time to see this census, and it cost me £159 to subscribe to find my pass. But it was worth it, because there won't be any more census in my lifetime, as the 1931 census was burnt by fire during the Second World War, and the 1941 census was not taken during the war in 1941. I can't complain though, because I have been lucky enough to see and research all census forms from the 1841 to the 1921 on Ancestry and find my pass. That is 80 years of my family history. The most rewarding part of it all was sharing what I had discovered with my mum and dad. In February 2022, Russia invaded Ukraine, and it has destroyed Ukraine's export market. The attacks on infrastructure and the blockade on exports don't just hurt Ukraine. They hurt the world, as it is the breadbasket of Europe. About half the wheat bought by the World's Food Programme comes from Ukraine, so the war could have devastating consequences and cause global food crisis. The farmers in Ukraine are having to wear body armours and helmets to protect themselves while harvesting the crops. Ray makes the bread for us here at Arevile, and Dove's farm grain merchants in England have run out of wheat. But luckily, Ray was lucky enough to be able to place an order of wheat. We now have enough wheat, grain and flour to last us until the end of 2022. Romania are doing everything they can to export wheat from Ukraine via Poland. The new harvest is due in July. If we don't get wheat, we may have to switch to spelt. It is the ancient wheat grain that Roman soldiers marched on in Britain with a daily ration of 800 grams. Spelt has been grown here in Britain for 5,000 years. The name for lavender in Welsh is labant, and is one of my favourite herbs. It is used for its wonderful aroma around the world and contains compounds which have a calming effect on the central nervous system. Lavender oil is used as a natural remedy for many ailments. Inhaling the oil calms the mind and body by helping the body to regulate adrenaline. It can be rubbed into bee and insect stings to reduce pain and swelling. English lavender is the best for making oil, and I had some growing in my garden, so I decided to make my own. The first step is to gather some lavender, preferably in the morning. Then trim the flowers and stalks and place it to a jar. Once filled, crush the lavender down to release the oil, then fill with olive oil. Shake the jar and place in a sunny spot for about 4 weeks while the lavender is infusing into the oil. Its aromatic qualities are going to be pulled into the oil by the heat. After 4 weeks, drain the oil from the jar through a tea strainer into a jug. Then pour into small bottles and label. I love the smell and often put some on my wrist, and the smell lasts all day long. It was so easy to make. After making some lavender oil, I decided to make some soap because I had some lavender seeds and flowers left over. I decided to repurpose bits of soap and melt down some other old soap which I hadn't used. The YouTube videos were very informative and I watched loads of them. I grated some soap into a Pyrex jug, then stood the jug containing the grated soap into a saucepan containing hot water. Keep the saucepan simmering on the hob, stirring the soap until it has all melted. I added some of my lavender oil and lavender seeds to the soap. It can take a while to melt, roughly 30 minutes. If you have an old electric whisk, I recommend it, as it will not be as lumpy. When ready, transfer the soap mixture into the moulds. Wait for about 24 hours and then carefully release them out of the moulds. Arrange the soaps on a wire rack to cure, and this could take 3 days or more. If they are still a little soft, leave for longer. Next time when I want to make more soap, I will try the melt and pour method and melt it in an old slow cooker, which is safer, as it will melt down into more of a liquid consistency. I ended up making boxes for some of them, and the aroma in my studio was lovely.